Will you pray with me? Father, we stretch our hands to thee. Because, Lord, it's simply no other help we know. Lord, if you withdraw yourself from us, whither shall we go? We come this morning standing before you as empty pitchers before a filled fountain, recognizing this morning that you're God all by yourself. We praise your glorious name. We ask you, Lord, to come on by here and help us to live our lives. Come on by here, Lord, and strengthen us with the strengthening that we stand in need of. Come on by here, Lord, and give us the insight and the wisdom we need to make sound decisions and to behave ourselves wisely. And Father, we come asking you now as we stand before your people, give us a prophetic word. Give us a word that will go down into the depths of somebody's heart and bring forth fruit to your glory. And oh, great God, we'll be so careful. Lord, we'll be so careful. Lord, we will be so careful to give you the praise for all that you do. Thank you for blessing us and allowing us to be here today. We ask it in him who hung upon the blood-drenched slopes of Calvary. We ask it in Jesus' name. Let's say together, amen. Amen. David, the sweet singer and poet of Israel, said, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley and the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. But thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." You ever had your cup to run over? And then he said, "Surely." Somebody ought to say, "Surely." "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord." You see, church, it was this same David who said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord." We need some Christians today who can say, "I'm glad when somebody talking about going to church. I'm glad when somebody talk about let us go unto the house of the Lord because he's worthy." I said he's worthy. In case y'all didn't hear it, I said he's worthy to be praised. We're happy to have those who are visiting with us today. Sister Jackson, is always an honor to have you. Now you know you're on our VIP list. Amen. Praise God. We're honored by your presence and others who are with us today. Kristen, it's good to have you. And Jalea, it's a joy to have you as well. And we have some other guests, and we certainly hope we will have the pleasure of meeting you today. If you have your personal copy of the world's bestseller, I want to call your attention this morning to two scriptural sites. Much thanks to Brother Wide for the excellent job he continues to do in the invocation. We give thanks to Brother Sperling for a beautiful reading of the scripture. Brother Rutledge for a splendid singing of the songs. And Brother Harris for a magnificent prayer in our behalf. Now, two sites this morning, and the first site is Romans chapter 8, verses 29 through 31, and the second site is 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 11. Romans chapter 8, 29 through 31, and 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 11. Have that? Say amen. Amen. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? I want to read verse 30 again. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified. Now, if you go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 11. And it reads, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Now, using that dual reading, I want to talk for a little while from the subject, three things God wants to do for you. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Three things God wants to do for you. Now, you ought to be in agreement. If the Lord want to do something for you, that's good. You ought to be in agreement with that. Is that all right? Let me tell you this morning that you are special. You are somebody. Because all of us today are made in the image and the likeness of Almighty God. And that makes you somebody. Don't ever let somebody tell you, you ain't nothing. Because God don't make no junk. And I didn't want to say doesn't, I said don't make. Is that all right? God does not make any junk. So you are special. You ought to live your life like you are special because you are. Amen. And even when the psalmist was trying to figure out what man was all about, he said, "What is man that thou visited him? And the son of man that thou visited him?" And then he said, "You made him just a little lower than the angels." The New King James or the American Standard Version said, "You made him just a little lower than God. And you've crowned him with glory and honor, and you've given him dominion over all things, and put the works of thy hand under his feet." So you are somebody.
All right.
Amen. And you didn't need Jesse Jackson to tell you that. The Bible already told you that.
Amen.
That you are somebody. And because you are somebody, because you are a person, because you are an individual, there is a responsibility that comes to your life. Every person here has the responsibility of personhood.
Yes, sir.
You can never escape the responsibility of personal responsibility. And one of the most important things you could ever do for yourself is take responsibility for yourself. Because when you take responsibility for yourself, you empower yourself. Is that all right? Bible says in one sense, in Galatians chapter 6, that every man must bear his own burden. All of us cannot escape the burden of personal responsibility. There are some things only you can do for you. There are some things that you're going to have to do for yourself, and nobody else can. Nobody in this world can make up your mind but you. Amen. Amen. Nobody is going to be able to stand before Almighty God for you and give an account how you've lived your life. You're going to have to stand before God. I'm going to have to stand before God and answer how Peter A. Moss have lived his life. You are going to have to stand before God, because can't nobody do that for me. That's a responsibility that belongs exclusively to me. But then there are some things, just because you can do something doesn't mean you can do everything. There are some things you can't do for you. There are some things you can't do for yourself. And whether we recognize it or not, we like to think about we are independent, but really, we are not independent, we are dependent. And as we think about our connection with each other, we are interdependent. I need you and you need me. Is that all right? You can't make it by yourself. And we can't make it, most importantly, by God. There are some things that I need done for me that I can't do for myself. Because the Bible says that in him I live, I move and I have my being. It was God who woke me up this morning. Whether I acknowledge him or give him glory and respect, it was God who woke me up this morning. Is that all right? And I can't save myself. I need to be saved, but I can't save myself. Ephesians 2:8-9, so say, for you are saved by grace. That's God's part. Through faith, that's your part. That's your response to what God has done for you. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Verse 9 says, not by works. Nothing we'll ever do in this world will ever earn us heaven. It is the gift of God. Amen. Amen. You like gifts? You like presents? Well, God, nobody can beat God in giving gifts. Nobody can beat God in giving presents. Is that all right? So this morning, I want you to see two ideas in this lesson. Number one, I want you to see what the devil is trying to do to you. What the devil is trying to do to you. And point number two, what God is trying to do for you. Amen? What the devil is trying to do to you. And what God is trying to do for you. Amen. Now in John 10:10, the Bible says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. In this particular passage in the Johannine account, the devil is described as a thief. He's a thief. And a thief is somebody who's doing something to you but don't want you to know it. You see, the thief want to come and rip you off, and you totally oblivious or unaware of what the thief has done to you. Is that right? The word thief means one who takes by stealth. It's the word klepto. You ever heard of a kleptomaniac? You know what a kleptomaniac is? It's somebody who will steal your stuff. You can't leave your stuff around a klepto. And in the Greek, that is the word thief. The Bible shines a floodlight and a spotlight upon the darkness in which the devil operates. It tells us not only is he a thief, it says the devil is like a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. It also tells us that the devil can transform himself into an angel of light, and he can masquerade. It also lets us know the devil is a thief who comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. It also tells us that the devil can come to you dressed like a wolf in sheep's clothing. But he's dangerous. Is that all right? So the Bible shines the spotlight on the devil. And I want to tell you, the devil is doing a mighty good job in this world. Because this world is messed up. People's minds are messed up. And as a result, their lives are messed up. And that's because the devil is doing a great job. One day when the sons of God came to present themselves to God, the Bible said that the devil came with them. And the Lord said to the devil, "Whence cometh thou?" And he said, "From walking up and down in the earth and going back and forth in it." And then God asked him, "Have you noticed a servant of mine, Job, an upright servant?" And the devil said, "Yeah, I noticed him." And the devil always notices God's people. The devil always notices folks that living in this world trying to live right. Amen. You better believe you on the devil's hit list if you're trying to live right. Is that all right? Because he is a thief. And what he wants to do is do something to you and you don't know he's doing it to you. Usually we don't know the thief been there till after the fact. Right. Is that right? If we knew he was coming, we lay in wait for him. Probably ain't a good idea, but that might be what some of us would do. Amen. But he comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. He has a threefold agenda, and that agenda is to kill, that agenda is to steal, that agenda is to destroy. Let's think about these three words. The word steal means to take by stealth. When somebody is stealing, they want to take some, but they don't want to be noticed. The devil wants to steal your joy, kill your faith, destroy your soul. Amen. The word kill means to kill by violence. It means he wants to slaughter us. And the word destroy means to lose. It means to run. It means to be overcome. It means to be conquered. The devil has a threefold agenda. An agenda are things that need to be done. Or an agenda could be a hidden viewpoint or a bias that someone has. The devil has a threefold agenda. You look around the world and you see people being killed. You see people being destroyed. You see people's lives being ruined. That's because Satan is doing a number. And he wants to do it to you. And you don't realize what he's doing. Amen. Because he is a liar and a murderer. And if you're not very careful, the devil will put a spirit of destruction in you. You'll be wanting to take stuff and hurt people and destroy people. And the only way you can deal with the devil and not get taken by him, you got to have God's help. Amen. You can't handle the devil by yourself. You got to have God's, you got to have some help. And that's why the Bible says put on the whole armor of God that you'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wiles is the Greek word stratagem, which means the cunning tricks of the devil. If you're not very careful, the devil will have you with a spirit of destruction. Stories told one day about there was two shopkeepers. And they had stores, Jackie, that was right across the street from each other. And they would sit in the doorway watching the other one. Because they didn't like each other. They were competitors. So one day, the story goes that an angel came to one of the shopkeepers in a dream. And he said, "God sent me to teach you a lesson." And he said, that God said you can have whatever you want, but your competitor is going to get twice as much as you got. He said if you want to be rich, then your competitor is going to be twice as rich as you are. If you want to be healthy and live a long life, your competitor is going to be twice as healthy as you are, and it's going to live twice as long as you live. He said, if you want to be famous and be honored by your family, your competitor is going to be famous, going to be twice as famous as you are, and going to be twice as honored by his family than you are. So the man said, let me think about it. Yeah. So what do you want? And so he thought about it. He said, all right, this is what I want. Strike me blind in one eye. Now some of y'all gonna get that when you get home. Remember now, he get twice as much. So if God strikes him blind in one eye, the other eye, God gets both eyes out. You got to be careful that you don't allow the enemy to put within you, as you live your life, a spirit of destruction. Where you want to hurt folks. You don't want to see people do well. If somebody gives somebody a compliment, you feel like you've been injured. Hello? I just praised Jay about that bad tie, you know, shirt he got on. He off the chain this morning. I said, well, his tie ain't better than mine. I wasn't talking about your tie. I was talking about his tie. Is that all right? If you're not very careful, the devil will put in you a spirit of destruction. Amen? But here's the final idea this morning. The three things God wants to do for you. Now, always keep in mind, brothers and sisters, that whatever you go through in your life, whatever you got to face, the challenges of your life, the ups and the downs of your life, always keep in mind, if God be for you, doesn't matter who's against you. But if God is against you, it doesn't matter who's for you. Is that all right? Always keep that in mind. I heard somebody say that God's word shines with scintillating beauty like white pearls on blue velvet. And Brother Sperling was right this morning when he said in Romans chapter 8, it's a beautiful section of scripture. And I read to you that the beauty of the scripture is this. Notice this connection now. It says that whom God foreknew, he predestined. Amen. And whom he predestined, he justified. And whom he justified, he glorified. Oh, ain't that wonderful? Isn't that beautiful? Whom God foreknew. That is, God knew some things about you before he formed you in your mother's womb. God knew some things about you as you were forming in your mother's womb. And God knows some things about you as you live your life today. So whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. You want to know what God really wants? Look at his son. You want to know what God really wants you to do and who he really wants you to be like? Look at his son, because he said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. He said, whom he foreknew, he predestined doesn't mean that there are some people automatically born for hell and some people automatically born for heaven. That's a false doctrine. God doesn't operate like that. God is not willing that any should perish. When Jesus died on the cross, he died for everybody. Is that right? God says, preach the gospel to every creature. So if God be for me, who can be against me? And I'm telling you this morning, God is for you because he gave up his son for you. And if God is for you, he's going to foreknow you. If God is for you, he's going to predestine you. If God is for you, he's going to call you. And if God calls you, he's going to justify you. And if God justifies you, you're going to be glorified. Is that all right? The story is told about a young musician. He went to this great musician who happened to be black. Just happened to be. There are a lot of great black musicians. And we're not saying there aren't some great white ones as well. Amen. We're not saying that. But in this story, the musician happened to be black. And he said to him, I want to write a musical score. He said, will you show me how to go about it? And the old musician said to him, well, he said, you're too young. Wait a few years. And so the young musician said, you know, he was struggling. He was what you call one of them starving artists. Yeah. You ever heard of a starving artist? Yes, you know why they're starving? You can have starving lawyers too. And starving preachers. if they ain't getting paid. In fact, you'll be starving. If you ain't getting paid. Is that all right? And so, Brother Lance, the older musician said, he said that you ain't ready yet. Wait a few years. And so the young musician said, well, wait a minute. He said, you were composing when you weren't barely in your teens. And the old musician said, yeah. And I didn't have to ask nobody to show me how to do it. Y'all gonna get that later too. Is that all right? Sometime in life, it's good to ask somebody. Is that right? And sometime in life, it's good to know and to understand what the Lord is trying to do in you and through you and for you. Yes, President Kennedy said at the 1960 inauguration speech, he said, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. And I'm not saying that was a powerful statement. But sometimes you need to know what God can do for you. Is that all right? Don't be a know-it-all. Is that all right? At some point, God gonna have to help you. So one day, there was a priest and a doctor and a professor sentenced to death. And as they stood before the guillotine, the priest went first, and they allowed him to say some final words. And put his neck under the blade, under the chopping block. And so Sperling, they let the blade come down. And just before the blade hit his neck, it stopped about 2 inches. Well, the priest said, first of all, keep the faith. That was his last words. Keep the faith. And as the blade come down, just before it hit his neck and decapitated him, it stopped. And the folks thought it was a miracle. And they thought that God had intervened and said, let this man go. And they let him go. Then the doctor came up. He was next. And his last words were, physician, heal thyself. Put his neck on the block, the blade fell. And just before the blade hit, it stopped again, 2 inches from his neck. And they say, again, this is a miracle. God is intervening. Let him go. Let him go, man. Yeah. And then finally the professor came up. They say, you have any last words? He said, yeah. If you fix those two bolts on the left side of that blade, it'll work like it's supposed to work. And Brother Earl, those were his last words. In other words, don't be a know-it-all. There are some things God has got to do for you. Some things God has got to teach you. Let's conclude and talk about these three things quickly. Number one, God wants to justify you. That's a theological word. And what that word means is God wants to get you right with him. How many of this morning want to get right with God? You can't get right by yourself. God has got to make you right. Sister Sperling, the word justify is a legal term. It is God making a judicial declaration that you are not guilty. He's setting you free from guilt. He's setting you free from blame. Sometimes we sing the song, Get Right Church and Let's Go Home. We're singing about justification. Because the only way you can be right, God has to pronounce that you're right. A lot of times folks say, well, when I get myself together, when I get myself right, I'm coming to the church. You can't get yourself right outside of the church. You can't get yourself together outside of the church. This is the getting right place. Is that all right? We got the get right message. We got the get right power. No wonder we can say, get right church and let's go home. Is that all right? No wonder we can say, back train and get you low. Because this is the get right place. So God, if God foreknew you, he predestined you. You see, you're part of a masterful plan. That's why I told you earlier, you are special. You're special. You're part of the eternal plan. God foreknew you, so he called you. He calls through the gospel. And if he called you, he's going to justify you. He's going to make you right with himself. And he's got a marvelous track record of justifying people. Is that all right? I tell you this morning, God has grace for your guilt. God has joy for your crime. God has strength for your weakness. God has hope for your despair. Is that all right? He has forgiveness for your condemnation. There was a woman caught in the very act of adultery. Are y'all hearing this? Yes, sir. She was guilty. Yes, sir. And after, to expedite, and after Jesus Christ disqualified all of the accusers, it was only him and the woman. She was guilty. And he told her, neither do I condemn you. He treated her as if she never sinned. He said, go in peace and sin, glory be to God, no more. That's justification in action. She was guilty. She was worthy of death. But Jesus said, neither I justify you. I pronounce you right before God. All glory to God. One day God met the greatest sinner in the world. The greatest sinner who ever sinned. Not Billy the Kid, not John Dillinger. Huh? Not Tupac. Not Biggie. The biggest sinner who ever sinned was Saul of Tarsus. And do you not know the God of heaven justified him? Are you hearing that? If he justified him, he can justify you. Is that all right? And God sent him to a preacher to tell him what he needed to do to be justified. And then second thing, God wants to sanctify you. He wants to sanctify you. Now don't confuse being sanctified with being crankified. Yeah, don't confuse that. Don't confuse foaming at the mouth and slobbering and rolling down the aisle. That ain't sanctification. Sanctification means where God has set your life apart for his use. Amen. Huh? In a sense, sanctification is theological earmarking. Yeah. You follow me? When you earmark money, y'all know what that's talking about, right? You set that aside. Is that all right? So what God has done, God has earmarked me. God has set me aside. And one day God had to teach Peter a lesson about sanctification, because one day in a vision he told him, Peter, arise, slay and eat. And Peter said, Lord, I have never eaten anything common or unclean. And God said to him, don't you dare call what I have cleansed common. And sanctification is the work that God has begun in me. I'm telling you, God is at work in you. And the work that God has begun in you, he is going to complete it. Amen. Are you listening? All you got to do is let him work in you and through you and for you. And then the last thing God wants to do for you, he wants to glorify you. What does that mean? Now, if you'll look back at Romans 8, 29, and well, 8:30. And I want you to look particularly at the tense of the word glorified. It said, him he foreknew, he called. And him he called, he justified. And then he said he also glorified. What are you saying? I'm saying that God has, in terms of your salvation, he speaks of your glorification as something that's in the future that's already been done. I am so sure that every Sperling is going to walk streets of gold. God can talk about him being glorified in the past tense, and he's still in the future tense. You see, God can do that. What does it mean to glorify? It means to recognize. It means to give someone importance. You see, all of us got egos. All of us like to be recognized. Well, no, you ain't got to recognize me. Did you overlook me? Wait a minute, I thought you just said we didn't have to. No. Did they mention my name? You know, one of the sweetest sounds a man could hear is his name. Is that right? So what he's saying here is that your salvation is so guaranteed. One day God's going to take you up to another level. He's going to give you a glorified body. He's going to call your name. He's going to make you a ruler over a few things because you've been faithful over a few. Is that all right? God's going to put a robe around your shoulders. He's going to put a necklace around your neck. Is that all right? Put new shoes on your feet. Is that all right? And he's going to bring you to a place and to a moment you can see God face to face. Ain't that good news? So watch as I conclude. The devil wants to steal and kill and destroy you. So when you wake up on Monday morning, be on the lookout for a hitman. His name is Satan. Is that all right? But when you also wake up Monday morning, be on the lookout for a God who's after you, coming after you, wanting to bless you, wanting to put a new life in you. Is that all right? But it's so sad as I conclude this morning that so many people are running from God. So many people are ignoring God. So many people, Brother Harris prayed, some people are slothful because the devil is doing it to them. And they don't recognize what they're doing. Is that all right? That's why David said, I was glad. I said, I was glad not to go to Essence Vaccine in New Orleans. I was glad. Is that all right? I was glad not to go to the NBA Finals. I was glad not to go to the Super Bowl. I was glad. Is that all right? Not to go to the Temptation concert. I wish I had some help here. I was glad not to go to Beyonce concert. Oh, I wish I had some help here. Is that all right? I was glad not to go to Ciara's concert. I was glad not to go to Rihanna's concert. Said, Moss, what you know? I know about all of them. Is that all right? I got to stay relevant. Is that all right? I got to look at what you're looking at where I know what to tell you. Is that all right? I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. How many glad to be here this morning? I was glad. Yes, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to church. Is that all right? I was glad when Brother Raleigh started singing. I was glad when Brother Wise started praying. I was glad when Brother Sperling started reading the scripture. I was glad. Yes, I was. When Brother Harris started praying. And I was sad when Brother Moss started preaching. You didn't say that, did you? He said, I was glad. I was glad when they said, let's go to the house of my God. Is that all right? I tell you, Sister Denson, it's a wonderful thing to know that God is good. It's a wonderful thing to know that God is love. Is that all right? It's a wonderful thing to know that God is full of mercy and his truth endures unto all generations. Is that all right? It's a wonderful thing to know that when other folks saw the worst in me, God saw the best in me. Is that all right? Yes, it's a wonderful thing to know that my God is good. And I must admit this morning that I'm not here because I've been so good. I'm not here this morning because I've kept all of God's commandments. I'm not here this morning because I dotted all my I's and I crossed all my T's. Is that all right? I'm not here this morning because I got a college degree. I wish I had some help here. I'm not here this morning because I got a little money in the bank. Is that all right? I'm not here this morning because I'm academically sound. Is that all right? But I'm here this morning not because I'm physically fit. I'm here this morning because God is good all the time. And all the time, my God is good. Is that all right? And so I'm going to praise him in the morning. I'm going to praise him in the evening. I'm going to praise him by noontime. Is that all right? And I'm going to praise him when I don't even have a special occasion. Is that all right? Because God is in a class all by himself. Is that all right? How many can say this one? I really love the Lord. You don't know what he done for me. Is that all right? He gave me. Yes, he did. He gave me. Can you say he gave me? He gave me the victory. And that's why I'm going to praise his name. Because he's worthy. I said, he's worthy, worthy, worthy to be praised. And I can hear Jesus say, because I came to help you. I came across 42 generations. I wrapped myself in human flesh. And I hear him saying, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. So I got some good news. I can't keep it to myself. If God foreknew you, he gonna predestine you. And if he predestined you, he gonna call you. And if he call you, he gonna justify you. And if he justifies you, Jackie, Jackie, he's gonna glorify you. It's good as done. Would you stand on your feet? That's the message. It is good as done. So Lord, thank you for knowing me. Thank you for knowing me, Lord. Thank you for keeping me safe in my mother's womb. And Lord, all these years of my life, you've kept me safe. You blessed me with opportunities. You allowed me to hold down a job without that job holding me down. You allowed me to live in this world without this world living in me. When I didn't have no money to go to school, you made it possible I could get a school student loan. When I was struggling with my lesson, you blessed my mind. Brother Ron, where I could understand my lesson. And when test time came, my nerve was on edge, but you calmed me down and allowed me to take my test. And then, Lord, you allowed me to submit my resume to the job market. And Lord, you blessed me. And every day, Lord, I got on the freeway to go to job. You kept me safe. You kept me from danger seen and unseen. You kept me from making a wrong turn that could have been my end. So Lord, but most importantly, yes, you put food on my table. Yes, you put clothes on my back. You put shoes on my feet. You put joy in my heart, a song on my lips. But most important, what you did for me, you called me. You predestined me. You justified me. You pronounced I was not guilty. And then you wrote my name in a registry in heaven called the Book of the Saved. And you watching over me every day as I live out my life. You know my ups and my downs. You know my setback. You know when I'm crying quietly and silently. You know when I'm depressed. You know when I almost feel like quitting. But in spite of that, you stayed with me. When people disappointed me that I believed in, you encouraged me. Yeah. And Lord, I just want to say thank you for loving me enough to send your son. Yes. Loving me enough to make me, even though I'm a black man, you make me your child. Yeah. And in fact, you make no difference in my color. Yeah. You've never discriminated against me. Because you are all I need to get by. Thank you for the plan of salvation. You told me how to be saved. Hear the gospel. Believe it. Repent of your sins. Confess Jesus. And be immersed. And God said, I'll wash all your sins away. Thank you. And you tell me if I just be faithful unto death, you'll give me a crown of life. Thank you, Father, for blessing me. Blessing me even when I didn't deserve to be blessed. When I was just ignoring you and doing my thing. you still love me and you blessed me. I'm so glad you're in my life. What could I do without you? I'm so glad you allowed me to be your preacher. Amen. And so in his behalf, on his behalf today, on behalf of Jesus, I invite you to heaven. On behalf of Jesus, I invite you to eternal life. On behalf of Jesus, I invite you to the abundant life. It is his invitation. I am simply his messenger. Amen. And I promised him the other day, if you bless me, I'm going to give you the best of my service. See, I had a talk with him. Amen. And he told me, now, Moss, you can do better than you're doing, boy. Amen. And so I promised him, I'm going to do the best I can. Amen. I may give out, Brother Earl, but I ain't going to give up. Is that all right? I may get knocked down, but guess what I'm going to do? Get up, try it again. Is that all right? Dust myself off and keep stepping for the Lord. I really love the Lord. I really love the Lord. You don't know
what
he's done for me. Just gotta thank you, Jesus gave me the victory. I love, I love him. I really love.